The scripture reading this evening comes from Exodus chapter 19, verses 10 through 14. Exodus 19, verses 10 through 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people, and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, Take heed to yourselves, that you go not unto the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people, and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes.
Scripture readings about worshiping God. I hope you brought your Bible. Let's turn to 1 Kings. We want to read a little bit there, continuing with the thoughts that Brock has brought out in the scripture reading. I want to read a little bit about Jeroboam, good old Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. He split off 10 tribes of the north. He constituted those the kingdom of Israel. This is about Jeroboam's idolatry. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 25. Jeroboam built Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim and lived there. And he went out from there and built Peniel. Jeroboam said in his heart, Now that the kingdom will return to the house of David, if this people go up and offer sacrifices in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of this people will return to their Lord, even to Rehoboam, king of Judah. They will kill me and return to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Of course, that's the southern kingdom. He didn't want that to happen. So the king consulted and made 2 golden calves and said to them, It is too much for you to go to Jerusalem. Behold your gods, O Israel, that brought you up from the land of Egypt. He set one in Bethel, and he set the other one in Dan. Americans love fast food. That's a shift, isn't it? Talking about Jeroboam to fast food. Yes, we do. We love fast food. And you know what? I'm not sure if that is a good thing in a culture that counts every calorie. We know how many steps we take every day. We do all those things in our life. We look at the grams of sugar on everything and on the side of the labels. But you know what? We don't care anything about that. We love fast food. We love it, man. Whataburger, Sonic Burger, Taco Bell, Domino's, McDonald's, you name it, baby. We love it. We love fast food. Now, in 1970, Americans spent, I got it down here, $6 billion in 1970. 2001, I'd say that's the last one I've got because they probably can't put the zeros out. We spent in 01, we spent $121 billion on fast food. I hope that you all are doing your part to uphold the fast food industry. Now, despite my wife's efforts to always eat healthy and be healthy and have those balanced and nutritious meals, I tell you what, if it's nachos, if it's chicken fingers, chicken tender fingers, whatever they put out there, they call it chicken meat. We just eat it. We love it. If it's hamburgers, if it's tacos, if it's greasy, if it's fried, if you can put ketchup on it, we want it. Don't. I'm sure that's how we are. And having said that, though, I want to tell you that I'm not all that comfortable about what the fast food mentality has done to our society and done to our culture. 100 years ago, and really this is 100 years ago, America was an agricultural society. We farmed. And it's not been just a lifetime ago that most Americans had 3 or 4 acres. And really, that's what they depended on to live on. They would raise what they ate on that 4 or 5 acres, whatever they had. They would raise gardens. They would fix, can everything. The cellar house, I remember the damp, cold cellar house. I remember all those things. And, of course, World War II brought great changes to this country. And post-World War II demanded that we go to Ralph's supermarket. But, you know, even in that, we bought our food, that we raised our food, we canned our food, we bought our food. And then all of that, what's all that mean? Work. That's work. And that's why when we all sat down at the kitchen table, Mama cooked it, and we all gathered around the kitchen table, and it was supper time. And it was time to sit down and eat because that was the time. And if you missed that deal, you missed supper. You didn't get to eat. All right? And so we remember that time. And we think about that. But now, of course, since the fast food thing came along. You can get hot food fast anytime, anywhere, any day of the week. Well, what that means is, and to say that we sit around the supper table like we used to sounds as antiquated as Leave It to Beaver and Father Knows Best. We just don't gather around the table anymore and do that. What we gather around is the steering wheel, the stick shift, and we're just flying to the next place we go. Because we can just stop in, wait, do any drive through, and get whatever we want. That's what we do. So, fast food's changed our society. It really has. It's changed the way we think about our society. I'll tell you what else I think. In some ways, fast food is changing how we treat the church, how we treat worship, how we treat God. That mentality, I think, has flowed over. More and more, I see a mentality in my brethren that have a fast food mentality that has permeated our society that the industry now has given us. I'm firmly convinced, when I think about it, that in a lot of ways it's been very destructive in the way that we think about religious matters and spiritual matters. I want to talk this evening about that. I want to talk about worship. I want to talk about what is increasingly popular in our society today, and that, of course, is that mentality that the fast food industry has brought on us. But let's just call it fast food worship. All right? We can just name whatever you want to name it. Fast food worship. And what has the fast food industry taught us and taught us well? Recent survey discovered that two-thirds of the folks who attend worship services are unable, if you ask them, to describe worship in a meaningful way. That means two-thirds of you, if I looked at you and said, can you describe worship to me in your own words, you couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. You have no idea. Fewer half of the worshipers cited regular worship as a top priority in their life. It's not a big deal. If I come to services or if I don't come to services, more than half said it's not a top priority. And most really had no clear expectations what happens in worship service. I would expect more out of my brethren than that. I think some of these things that I'm giving you are some from denomination, I'm sure. But I think a lot of people that are involved in worship are involved in fast food worship. They have that mentality. And so I look at this, and really I think they're involved in the convenience of the culture, the convenience that that demands. Now, the background of Jeroboam, of course, my translation said what it did. This translation says, for too long have you gone up to Jerusalem, verse 28. Some translations say it's too difficult, it's too hard. Most say it's too far. That was the deal. Listen, it's just too far to go to Jerusalem and worship. Let's do it this way. So there were calves that were built, there were idols that were made, and he said it's just too inconvenient to go to Jerusalem and worship. So what we'll do, we'll just set up a substitute feast day, we'll set up a substitute priesthood, we'll get everybody all fixed up. I'll tell you what we'll do, we're going to make worship real convenient. That's what Jeroboam did. Alright? So, people are driven by their convenience, aren't they? Too hard, too difficult, worship, got to get ready. All those things. And so what's happened is, I don't want to inconvenience myself, so I'm going to do it my way. Well, this evening I want to talk about some examples that have that kind of my way thinking. And I believe that it has permeated our worship services. I think you need to know that any of us can be a fast food worshiper. I think a lot of us can be that way and not know about it. But, you know, dining on fast food worship is really not serving the Lord. Now, I'll make this statement. I'm talking about the idea that we can be casual about our worship. The word casual comes up now a lot, that we can just be casual about gathering for worship in our worship service. Worship can be quick. Worship can be easy. And I believe that real worship, though, I think it takes thought. I think it takes preparation in our lives. You ever watch old movies? I love a movie. I love a good movie. I love a good story. I love to tell a good story. I love black and white movies. I don't know if I like to watch them so much because every time I watch them, no matter what the movie is, I just think I'm reminded of a time in this country when people had sense. But when you look at the movies, hey, baby doll, let's go out. We're going out to dinner. Guess what they do? They get dressed up and they all go out to dinner. I don't care what year it is. That's what they did when America had sense, I guess. But now, I've never looked at Jeannie and said, hey, man, let's go to Taco Bell and get my tuxedo. You don't do that. We don't do that. And it doesn't matter if you've been out in the yard, you're all ratty, you're all sweaty. While you can just drive through and you can hunker down in behind that tinted windows and you can get all the food you want, and it's no big deal. Come as you are, you see. And it doesn't matter. And so that's what the fast food industry has taught us. And I get a ton of bulletins from churches all over the world, really. And I'm going to spare you reading some of those things, but come as you are. Relaxed and friendly atmosphere. We are the church who, for those that don't do church, wear comfortable clothes and enjoy a no-pressure environment. We want you and your family to have a great time. I get bulletins like that all the time. Here's the cover one, church casual. Jesus wore sandals, you can too. That's deep, isn't it? That's real deep, isn't it? What does casual have to do with worship? What does being casual have to do with approaching God in worship? How can casual ever be associated with anything when it comes to reverencing God? And when you look at this in Exodus 19, the passage is just read. When you look at that passage, you know what they were doing? They were preparing. They were making themselves ready. There was preparation in worshiping God. And this introduces an entirely different thing. This isn't a come as you are religion. That's not what's going on here. This isn't church casual. They're getting ready to meet God. It's time to change your behavior. It's time to think about some things. It's time to think about what you do, what you're involved in. These people made preparation before they came to worship God. Now, I know we're not under the old law. We're definitely not sitting under Mount Sinai right now. But it does say something to the man that says, I just come any old way I want, any time I want, do whatever I want. I think it says something to that man with that attitude. Exodus 19 is telling us, you don't approach God on your terms. You approach God on His terms. That's what it says. How much preparation did you make today for the Lord's Day? How much did you do? How much did you think about how vital this day is? How much did you meditate about today? How much did you pray about today? This day, the day that you're going to be in the very presence of the Almighty God, how much preparation did you make for today to come to this day? You know, sometimes I look at brethren and I just think, you know what? Hey, can you give me that sermon in the YouTube deal? And can I get the Lord's Supper in a sack to go? Huh? Why not? We've got that mentality. And I look at Exodus 19 and I look there and I tell you what, I just wonder if somebody popped up and said to Moses, hey, can we have a little bit more casual service than we're having here? We got to be so serious about this. What's the deal? I want you to get lost here. We're not talking about some kind of dress code. That's not what I'm talking about. There is no dress code for worship. There is not. And I certainly understand that you can come and worship God in whatever clothes you have on. That's not what I'm talking about. We are not trying to construct some arbitrary and capricious dress code, because there's not one. And we don't teach or believe that, because you can look around. We're all wearing different things. We all have different items on, different material, all shapes and sizes. There's no dress code. Now, there are denominations that teach dress code, that believe the Scriptures teach an absolute dress code. And you can see those folks out in public. They have the dress code. They've got hair that high on top of their head. You know why? They don't cut their hair. They have no makeup. They have no earrings. They have denim dresses that go below the ankles. And they all look like they could make me a real good Sunday dinner. But that's a dress code. That's an absolute dress code that they're enforcing on those that go to those denominations. We understand what that is. A dress code says you've got to do this, you've got to wear this and this. That's a dress code. What I'm talking about is an attitude. What I'm talking about is a spirit. When you come before the Almighty God, what I'm talking about is not the outward man so much yet, but I'm talking about the inward man that Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is renewed every day. Do you know that you can tell somebody that's doing that? Do you know that my inner man is not your inner man? Do you know that my inner man changes and is refreshed every single day? What's that mean? That means I can look at you and say, well, you're just about the same as you was 5 years ago. You've not changed anything about yourself. Your spirit's not being renewed every single day. And I tell you what, if I know that you're working on that and you're taking some things more serious than you did before, you know what that's going to cause me to do? It's going to cause me to love you as you grow and prosper and serve the Lord with all your inner strength and inner man that you are. We're all different. We all have that inner man that's different and is ever changing if we want to be pleasing to God. That's what I'm talking about. That kind of spirit. We're talking about an attitude. Our spirit. Our relationship with God. An attitude that says, hey, I just can't come to the Lord any old jolly way I want. Any way I please. However I want to come to the Lord. That's my business. I'm going to do that. That's what I'm talking about. The attitude works at McDonald's. It doesn't work at worship. Our God is to be reverenced. And His worshipers are to approach Him in reverence. With an attitude, I'm going to tell you, I don't know how to say it, it's the very opposite of being casual. The very opposite. We really care. It's a really big deal that we're here. Psalms 95, verse 7. 6. Come, He says, let us worship. Bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God. You remember the old hymn, takes time to be holy, doesn't it? Folks, it takes time to be holy. It takes time, real time, to meditate, to think about your place before God. It takes time to be holy. It takes decisions. It takes preparation. It takes prayer. It takes some time to be significantly ready to come before God. Kind of worship can't be put in the microwave and popped out in 30 seconds. It just can't do it. Worship begins with an understanding that you are coming before the Lord God that made you. We're in His presence. It can't ever be casual. It can't ever be quick. It can't ever be easy. That's not the deal. Something else, I think. All of that. You know, it seems to me in many ways that fast food worship is all about serving who? The customer. It's about serving the customer. You know, in fact, I think it's one of my greatest concerns about worship today is what I hear about worship and what people say about worship. Just watch and listen sometimes. You can hear people talk about it. They do it a lot of times. And I'll tell you why it's so boring. It's just boring. I'm just burnt out of it. Come or go, not go, doesn't matter, it's boring. It didn't do much for me, it didn't really lift me up. You know what? Worship is evaluated today by only one consideration. You know what that is? Me! It's me. That's the one. There's only one consideration about this whole assembly, and it's this: I'm satisfied. Because this is all about me. That's what the fast food industry has taught us. And it's like the movie critic. You're back there, you know, and I can see your faces. You going to give Norton a thumbs up tonight? Or a thumbs down? Are you going to give this worship service? When you critique this worship service? Because after all, it's all about you. It's based on if it moved you, if it helped you, if it motivated you, if it made you happy. That's what this is all about. It's all about me. I know where that attitude comes from. McDonald's. Yes, sir. Fast food industry has made us become keenly aware that it is all about you. What do you want? What do you want with your meal? You want fries with that? What do you want? Anything that you want, we'll give you that. Well, they aim to please. You go to the counter, you order yourself hamburger and fries. And I've never done that. I've never walked up and the lady said, hey, give me a hamburger and french fries. Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. There's a sack of potatoes back there. You start peeling, I'll work on that hamburger. She never says that. She says, yes, sir, I'll do that. And isn't it amazing? It's just kind of hard to imagine that for 99 cents, you can get the undivided attention of two teenagers and a middle-aged manager. Yes, you can, for a minute while they're waiting on you. Because that minute is all you, and it's all about you. You got three people filling your order. Yes, sir. It's amazing what a dollar can do. People seem to want that to happen in church. And you tell me that attitude, that spirit doesn't flow over in our assemblies. I know it does. I've used this illustration. You know, we're down here tonight or in the morning. We'll hop in the car. You know what? That preacher, I tell you what, that guy needs to go. He's a loser. Tired of it. Boring. Whatever. Say what you want about the guy behind the pulpit. Because that's usually what the first thing you say when you get in the car. And then mommy says, you know what, again, the song leader, what a joke that was. Andrew, I tell you what, the guy can't sing worth a lick. I don't know why we got him up here. What a joke that was. That boy can never sing. Where's he at? I'm just kidding. And the guy at the table, what about that tie he had on? Huh? A little loud, wasn't it? I thought it should be a little bit more conservative, don't you think? You know, and then the little sister says something, and then the little brother pops up and he says, "What? I thought it was a good show for the dollar that we had in it." And isn't that true? Thought it was a good show for the dollar that he had in it. Well, how's that work? Isn't that how the fast food industry is? You know, everything you buy at them joints are nutritionally bankrupt. They do absolutely nothing for you on a nutritional level. They just don't. They're no good. And a lot of times you think about it, it's served cold, it's not done, or what. And even when you drive down the road a mile and you reach in that sack, it's the worst day in your life. They couldn't even get the order right. Guess what we do? We eat it anyway. We shove it in our mouth because we're going down the road and you know what? It's only a buck and you know what? It satisfied me, it did the deal, I'm good to go. And that's how we think about that. That's the exact attitude that some people have about worship. Goes on too long. Sermon's kind of stale. Really don't care. But you know what? For the dollar I got in it, it was all right. It's a pretty good deal. I'll take it. We have that sometimes about our worship service. 1 Corinthians 14. I want you to look at a Bible stand. I'll tell you what, you can get a pretty good show in Corinth without a question. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Of course, they're having a party at the Lord's Supper. But notice what he says in verse 23. Therefore, if the whole church assembles together and all speak in tongues, and all speak in tongues, and ungifted men or unbelievers enter, will they not say you're all crazy, you're all mad? That's his question. Now notice verse 26. He says, what's the outcome then, brethren? When you assemble, each one has a song, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all things, he says, be done to edification. Well, what's going on at Corinth? Their worship was all about me. Their worship was all about what I could do. Their worship was all about their gifts. Their worship was all about what I could contribute to the worship service. It was truly all about me. And it doesn't matter if somebody else has something else to say, something else to do, something else to contribute. I want to do my thing because it's about me. This whole thing's about me. I'm going to speak my song. I'm going to speak my language. I'm going to speak my prophecy. I'm going to speak my interpretation. I want this assembly to know that I'm here and know my ability. Paul says, absolutely not. You know, the purpose of worship is not to please you, to do your thing, to lift your glory up. And I tell you what, when you look at Corinth, you look at that, all that worship did was reflect selfishness and self-centeredness and all about me-ness. The test of worship is not whether you liked it. The test of worship is not whether you lifted your gift up to God. The test of worship is, did the Lord like it? Did it honor God when you were here? That's the key. Worship is about focusing on God. Focusing on the Lord. Reverence is that understanding. Listen, never forget we're in the presence of God. We're serving Him. He's great. He's amazing. He's awesome. He's everything. And I'm not. I'm not. And as a result, we act accordingly that worship is not about me. And you know what? Do my thing. Get entertained. Have that moving experience. You know, evaluating worship on how I liked it. And well, you know what? It just doesn't work. And that's not a scriptural principle. The primary concern about worship, the question is, did I please the Lord while I was there? The Corinthians, they loved their worship. God didn't. And it was because of selfishness. And it didn't lead to serving the Lord. The focus of real worship is on the Lord. It's not on me. You know, I ran across a word this week while I was looking at this. Spectatoritis. And I think sometimes a lot of us, thumbs up, thumbs down, We have a spectator-itis idea of worship service. Real worshipers Don't sit back like spectators. But folks that aren't worshiping God, do you know you sit back there like spectators? And what happens is, I'll just say you keep a safe distance. You really don't sing. You really don't pray. You really don't believe. You really don't change. You're in that safe mode while you're here. You're not into it. You're not giving the right spirit into worship. Real worshipers are not consumers like the fast food industry wants. You're not consumers. You're not looking for that immediate payoff and that immediate experience that a fast food place does. Real worshipers don't kind of fade back and be the spectators. Real worshipers says, what did I offer? What did I give God the hour that I was there? What did I offer? What am I giving? There's nothing to be eroded from worship like that. No, that's what God wants. And you know, consumer first, have it your way. That dominates the fast food industry. I'll tell you what, it works at Wendy's and it works at McDonald's. It doesn't work here. It doesn't work. Fast food worship really is just spiritual junk food. I'll tell you what, it cannot and it will not feed your soul. It doesn't. Let's see, I got it wrote down here. Just give me a minute. You know, the nutritional pamphlets that McDonald's has that they hide in behind a pot of plants that nobody can see. You got any idea what you're eating when you eat that stuff? Here it is. A Big Mac has 34 grams of saturated fat, all right? And a supersized fries at McDonald's has 21. Now, tomorrow when you have your Big Mac and supersized fries, do you know that you have the FDA requirements of the saturated fat that you need for your body till the year 2021? With a Big Mac and super fry tomorrow. That's what it'll do for you. All right? And we look at that stuff. What do we do? What do we think about? We eat it anyway. We don't care. We don't care what that. We're going to eat that stuff anyway. And if you keep doing it, you ought to have a frequent arteries clogger club card or something. I don't know. Eat 20 Big Macs, get a free angioplasty. I don't know. I'm amazed that we do that. But I'm hungry. I don't care. I know it's not really helping my body. I don't care. I want it. That's exactly how fast food worship is. The worshipers. I got to go to church for some reason. Got to get a little balance. Get a little bit on that side of it. Got to give the Lord a little bit of His due. If I don't show up once a month, they're going to call me. I got to... You know, something there, just chime in. Got to show up for some reason. You fast food worshiper. You know who you're in the presence of? I think the Bible describes that sort of thing. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 3. For, he says, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled. They'll accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. They'll turn away their ears from the truth, and they'll turn aside to myths, Paul says to Timothy. That's our day and time, isn't it? Those churches, they provide that kind of worship. There's a gazillion of them out there. I get bulletins from them all the time. We see, you don't even have to get the bulletins. You can see it advertised. It's in the paper, the mailings that are out there, all the articles out there. You need to come. And you know, the things that they offer in those fast food worship, you know what? It tastes good for a while. It does. What they offer, it tastes good for us, like fast food. And it seems to be spiritual. It seems to fit the bill for what we need. I got up, went to church this morning, had a little bit of entertainment, had a little bit of recreation, had been a little food and fun and frolic and blah, blah, blah. And I feel pretty good about it. You know, it's like eating that fast food. I know that that's not what we're talking about when people assemble as we are today and worship God. That's not what we're talking about. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. I got it right tonight. I'm going to use Zacchaeus again tonight. Turn with me to Luke 19. I want you to just look at this meeting you have with Jesus. Verse 5. Luke 19, verse 5. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down here, for today I must stay at your house. Now look at verse 8. Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I'll give to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I'm going to give back four times as much. Now, the scriptures don't say too much about what they talked about. But you know what? I promise you, this isn't Jesus telling a few stories, getting you just a little dose of that fast food that you're going to forget in a half hour after you leave here. What Jesus told Zacchaeus, and in just a few moments together, Jesus left a lasting impression on Zacchaeus that he needed to change his life, that he needed to repent of his sins, that he needed to make things right. That's what you see here. There's no ego stroking. There's no self-esteem pumping. There's no sit back and stay hid. There's no, hey, let's just enjoy ourselves. This is all casual. This is all about you. Let's just stroke. No, that's not here. It's about meeting God and realizing our place with God and the deficiencies that I have and where I need to change. That's what this is about. That's exactly what genuine worship is about. I need to see God, and I need to see Him more clear. And when I do, I see how much I lack in being like Him. The better I worship, the more I'm called to be more like the God I worship. And that's the truth. Contemplation, meditation, examination, changing, honoring, revering. These are all real truths when it comes to true worship. It's never just a momentary cotton candy moment. It's just not. From the pretend worship, the false experiences that are offered out there every day, the fast food worship goers. Well, long ago, Jeroboam looked at a people and said, hey, it's going to be so much more convenient for you guys just to do this. We're going to set all this up and everything will just be fine. Some of us are appalled at fast food worship. Some of us are appalled at the things going out there. But I can tell you what, you can be a fast food worshiper right here. You can fail to be prepared. You can fail to be reverent. You can fail in all those areas that we've talked about. You can fail. We can be a fast food worshiper right here. We must demand better. We've got to. We must demand better of me, your preacher, the elders. And you must demand better of your own self when you come before God. I will engage with God. I'll focus on God. I'll honor and reverence God. I'll worship God. That's what this assembly is about. This invitation is tonight for you. If you've not done that, you can change that. If you're all laid back and never took this moment serious, this assembly serious, you think this is McDonald's, you've missed the whole thing. It's not. It's a house of God built with the Lord's money, with the saints assembled in it, and we're in the presence of God. Folks, if you don't think it's serious business, you need to change that. It's very serious business because your soul's at stake. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Please come as together we stand and sing.